When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another daily edition of Talking Real Money. I'm Don McDonald, and your participation is always invited in the podcast and the show at 855-935-8255. We're one of the few talk shows that has a 24-hour number. You can call us anytime and ask your questions. And if you call during the live show, which is Saturdays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, we'll answer them on the show. But then after those hours, it switches over to the automated system, the recorded system. You leave your question there, we answer it on the podcast. There you go. So simple. So this is the last one for this week. This is the February 1st daily show, but we try not to date these too much. Today I want to discuss something we have discussed in the past, but it's an area in which there is a great deal of interest. And this interest started, give or take, about a decade ago. Interest in things called alternative investments. Now, there are many of our peers who believe that alternative investments have a place in portfolios. We don't. I don't. I don't see what purpose they serve. I know there's empirical data that shows that over some periods they've zigged when other securities have zagged, but I haven't felt good about them, nor has Tom. So we have avoided using them, except as they just exist within a traditional portfolio. And it's very interesting. John Reckenthaler, who is an editor at Morningstar, this week wrote two columns on these alternative style investments. And the first story he wrote a couple of days ago was about the worst of them. He said that none of them are good. There's awful and not so awful, basically. But he wrote two articles, one on the better ones and one on the worse ones. And these things have performed terribly. He's looking back at 10-year returns for these various categories of alternative investments. For example, some alternative portfolios hedge currencies. They're multi-currency funds. They buy currencies, they sell currencies, they play with currencies. Over the last 10 years, the average annual return for multi-currency funds has been 0%. This is a 10-year period where the S&P 500 gained about 13% per year. 13% per year. So those did zero. How about the market neutral funds? These are the guys who are supposed to have you in a position where you don't lose when the market goes down and you don't really win as much when it goes up. You're supposed to be in the middle there. Well, last 10 years, market neutral funds have done a whopping 0% per year. How about those funds that invest in futures contracts, in managed futures contracts? And that could be almost anything. Agricultural futures contracts, energy futures contracts, precious metals futures contracts, even securities futures contracts. These are supposed to offset the risks of the stock market. Last 10 years, negative 1.6% return. Energy, the overweight energy, they say, and you can do better. Traditional mutual funds or ETFs, they buy electricity, they buy oil, they buy and sell. These things, on average, over the last 10 years, 0.5% per year. And then for those of you who thought, well, I'm going to bet against the bull over the last 10 years, well, that was a big mistake. And that's always going to be a big mistake because betting against bull markets is a fool's game because bull markets, rising markets, there are 75% of the markets are bull markets, 25% are bear markets. The annualized return over the past 10 years for those bear market funds on average, 19%, negative 18.9% to be exact. And even the best ones, those that are not as bad, precious metals. Now remember, the S&P 500 did 13%. All those gold bugs over that entire 10-year period, you heard them on some of the shows, you know. You listen to Mike Medved or Sean Hannity or I don't know who else. They're plugging precious metals all the time. Precious metals, average annual return, 3.9%. Average annual return. Non-traditional bonds. These are securities that are higher yielding, supposedly. We had CMOs and CDOs in the past. These are supposed to combat inflation and play some other games. And anyway, the annualized return for those was 2.9%. Multi-alternatives. They invest in all the various strategies. They can go anywhere they want. They did better. 2.5% average annual return. Cash actually made more money than some of the alternatives at a whopping 0.5% per year. Good for cash. That's like treasury bills, money markets, that kind of thing. Inflation-protected bonds, average annual return of 3%. And that's pretty much the universe of alternatives. None of them came even close to the return of the stock market. Now, I realize that was a great bull market. But 10 years of zero to negative returns, I believe there's only been one or two rolling 10-year periods where the stock market has lost money over that entire period. And the stock market is supposed to be very risky. These alternatives are supposed to be hedges against risk. And they just didn't work out like people promised. And that's why we stay away from them. Also, those alternative products are so blasted expensive. Some of those funds run 1%, 2%, 2.5% per year. And that's just too much to pay. We got calls at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Thanks to those of you who called in and asked questions. And this question is a doozy. This is a good one.
Hello, Don. My name is John, and I am calling. I heard you putting a shout out to try to get more calls and questions. So I had a fairly interesting question. I've been reading some of Larry Swedrow's tweets, which I think is probably retweeted from yours. And I was reading his December 21st investing in short time horizon tweet, and he was talking about the percent chances of losing money with the different factors over a 1, 3, 5, 10, and 20-year time period. And interestingly, in the last table, he's talking about these factors, and if they're equally weighted, there's a real, you know, at 10 years, for example, there's a 1% chance of a negative premium. But in looking at the factors, I certainly understand the beta, size, and value factors, and I think those are kind of all from Farmer's three-factor model and kind of what you have talked to on the different premiums. But my question is focusing on this momentum, and I know that there's some disagreement between the scholars about what that is and what that means. But I guess I was hoping to kind of hear your thoughts on what that momentum factor is, premium factor is for a portfolio. And if so, if that's part of the kind of the portfolios that you recommend to folks, kind of where we would see that. Hopefully that helps. Thanks.
Wow. Factors. I think you may be the first person who's asked about all five factors. And not many read Larry Swedrow, although we like a lot of what Larry has to say. I've been to dinner with Larry. Larry and I know each other well. He's been on the show a lot. I like Larry, but I do believe that Larry, his firm, and a couple of others have... I hate to use a pop reference, but it's almost like they've jumped the shark with these things. Because these guys. Speaking of alternatives, they're the alternative pushers. They're pushing these funds, these Bridgeway and AQR funds, with these incredibly high annual expense ratios, and they haven't done what they expected them to do. Now, over 1 or 2 years, I wouldn't poo-poo them, but these returns hadn't looked good over 10, and that concerns me a great deal. But your question was specifically about one of those factors, which is the one factor that I have the most problem with, that Eugene Fama has the biggest problems with, that our research people at Vestry have the biggest problems with. And that's the concept of momentum investing. Oh, momentum investing. It is, the momentum factor is, in a nutshell, some evidence that when a stock price starts running, when it gets momentum, that upward momentum lasts for quite some time, that there's a momentum tail to stocks, and there is evidence that that you can use that. Now, we subscribe very strongly to the research of Fama and French and the folks at Dimensional Funds. As opposed, we've talked to AQR, we've talked to Bridgeway, we're just not convinced. We are not convinced. Now, Dimensional Funds does invoke momentum into their buy and sell decisions, but they don't manage a fund specifically for purposes of exploiting momentum. On the other hand, AQR does. And I look back at some of AQR's momentum funds just to see how they've done in real life. Real life, theory, two different things. How have they done in real life? Well, these AQR funds have not been around for as long as I'd like to really get a good idea of how they've performed and at what kind of risk level. But they have been around for more than 5 years. So we can get a 5-year track record on, for example, I looked at the AQR small cap momentum, because a lot of the academics will argue momentum works better in small company stocks than it does in large. There are those who believe it works well in all. So there are different opinions out there. But I look back, and the 5-year average annual return for the AQR Small Cap Momentum Fund, ASMOX, was 5.56% per year. Now, maybe that was a 5-year period that didn't favor momentum, but when you compare that to the 5-year average annual return for the S&P 500 at 10.96%, you start to wonder, is there really a premium there? Or maybe it only exists academically and it's hard to exploit in real life. The 3-year return is still lower than the S&P 500. The 1-year return was dramatically worse. Over the last 12 months, the AQR fund, the momentum fund, lost 6.5%, while the S&P 500 lost 2.33%. And then there are a couple of other issues you have to consider. When we look at funds, we look at the expense ratio. It's an important part of it. And even the more aggressive funds that we use don't have expense ratios much more than 0.5%. And that's for really small emerging markets kinds of funds. This AQR Small Cap Momentum Fund has annual expenses of 0.6%. That is on the high side. It's not outrageous, but it's on the high side. But here's another number that bears looking at. It's, you know, we can look and we can go through a lot of them. We can look at beta. We can look at the Sharpe ratio. But when we're measuring just, when you're building these diversified portfolios, one of the more important factors you need to look, one of the more important bits of information you need to consider is the volatility, because that's what we try to manage. So we try to reduce that volatility so that it makes owning a portfolio more or less frightening, more comfortable. You're less likely to panic. And this Momentum Fund has not added return over 5 years. Again, that's not the best period over which to measure it. I wish I had more. But it's also been dramatically more volatile. And I want to explain standard deviation to all of you. This is going to be our word of the day. We're going to do it right here in the question. Standard deviation is a statistical measure of volatility. And very, very simply stated, if you have something that doesn't go up at all or down at all, it has a standard deviation of zero. Short-term treasuries have a standard deviation of, you know, like two or three. The S&P 500 has had a traditional 10-year standard deviation of about 13.5%. The S&P's 5-year standard deviation has been 11.25%. The higher that number gets, the more volatile the securities in which you're investing, which it's the scary factor. Well, the AQR Small Momentum Fund has had a standard deviation on average over the past 5 years of 16.78%. That is very volatile. It adds volatility to a portfolio. It doesn't subtract it. So again, we're looking at something that we've got a number of academics who are not convinced it's proven yet. This is the one factor that Eugene Fama will say, there may be five factors. I've heard him say it. There may be five factors. There's the value factor. Value stocks have outperformed growth stocks. There's the small factor. Small company stocks have outperformed large company stocks. There's the maybe there's a factor for profitability. And that momentum. And then there's the risk reward. Momentum is the one that a lot of people still question. It's funny that the people who are most adamant about it being a sensible product are those who are selling the product. And that's old portfolios. Why shouldn't we use it? We can get stuff from anybody. We use Schwab funds sometimes. We use Vanguard funds. We're not convinced that alternatives nor momentum add enough value to offset their higher costs and that they reduce standard deviation. We don't see it. So that's our opinion. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. Talking Real Money, The Daily Show will continue again next week, along with a very short weekend show. I'm doing a 30-minute live show on Saturday on Como in Seattle. Just 30 minutes. So all the more important that you go listen to the podcast. And if you want more information on almost anything we talk about, go to TalkingRealMoney.com, where you can get the risk quiz. Take that. Find out what your risk tolerance is, where you can get an advisor interview form. Find an advisor in your area. Set up an appointment online with one of our advisors. A truly free, no obligation appointment. We just want to help people. Would we like you to become a client? Sure. Do we push you? No. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Talking Real Money. I'm Don McDonald.
That the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?